Good morning, heart and soul.
Good morning.
Is Ron in the, he's not in the room. Okay. I may need his assistance in a bit. So, Women's History Month.
Yes.
Following right on the heels of Black History Month.
Right.
And I just find myself this morning wondering, at one point, we won't have the need. You know, because even as I was watching our video, and can y'all just give it up for the video? I'm telling you. And you know, that was born out of the Black History video. I just had a vision around that, and it's because there's so many faces that we don't recognize. And even as I watched this, there were so many moments of, oh, that's right, oh, and it's because we are not those faces. Those stories, her story, is not put before us on the regular. So we almost have to set up a special occasion together and be in remembrance and in conscious, intentional awareness of those who have contributed so very much, those whose shoulders we stand on, those who paid a tremendous price for us to have just the, it's this right here doing a little thing. For those who have done so much under very different circumstances. Yeah? Yeah. So I'm grateful that we do pause and take the time so that we can have a shared remembrance. Oh, but I somehow wish for the day when that wasn't required, because it would be before us so much and so very often. So I'm grateful. I want to make sure that you take a moment. We have every Black History. Our beautification team curates a weekly mini museum. Would it be all right if I called it a little mini museum? That's probably overspeaking it, but for our purposes, it fits very neatly right there in that little cul-de-sac area, that little. And then we do the same thing for women's history. And so I just want to shout out to the full beautification team who comes together and puts that together. And I'm encouraging you, I want to encourage you to take the time. Don't forget to take a peek. Every week something changes, if not a lot changes there. And I'm so very grateful for the way that we are honoring women's history. And I will do my best today in my message. You know, sometimes I come with a message that I'm given to bring, and I'm not sure exactly how I'm to do it. So today is kind of one of those days, so I'm just going to do my best to put everything in its proper order. And so just continue, because y'all haven't been praying in the way that I would really appreciate for me. I can feel it in my life that some of y'all not carrying your full weight. So I'm going to ask that this morning y'all pick it up a level, up level the prayer for me, just so that the full message will be not only presented but received and implemented in some way. I'm just knowing that something quite magnificent can happen if I can just be the vessel, if I can just use my vocal cords in the proper way. So I want to also give a shout out to Lisa Forkish. Lisa is with us virtually, and so I just am saying to you this morning, Lisa, we love you and we miss you. We are so grateful that you're here with us. Can I just say, howsoever you're here? However it is you can be here, we are grateful. And so I just want to give a little preview from lyrics that Lisa wrote of the song that she will sing for us in just a moment. But I want to highlight these lyrics because I want them to pave the way, so to speak. This will be my yellow brick road, so to speak, that I will be following even as I endeavor to bring this message today for women's history. Lisa wrote for us in these lyrics, "Spirit, guide us home. We know the way. Let us know our blessings today and every day. Give us a radiant light to see in the dark. Give us a radiant love where fear tore us apart. May we spend our lives taking off this armor, falling down, letting go, and rising up again." I am so honored to bring you an amazing vocalist, lyricist, and human being, Lisa Forkish.
Spend our lives taking off this armor, falling down, rising up again. May we spend our lives a little bit warmer. Brave spirits, fierce hearts. Not live in reaction. Give us the strength to face the world with courage and heart, to see each other through eyes of love. It's never too soon to start. May we spend our lives taking off this armor, falling down, letting go, and rising up again. May we spend our lives a little bit warmer. Brave spirits, fierce hearts. Oh.
We love you, Lisa. Thank you so very much. May we spend our lives taking off this armor. My prayer is that it doesn't take us that long. That indeed we set an intention for, Vald, I took my little finger thing off. If you'd bring that for me, please. Thank you. That we set an intention for freedom on this adventure in faith. Yes? Can y'all meet me with this awareness that life is an adventure in faith? I know from time to time we call it a bunch of different stuff, depending upon how it's presenting itself or how we perceive that it is being presented. We call it a bunch of different identifiable labels. And for our purposes, I'm hoping we can agree that we'll just sense it as an adventure in faith. So sometimes in this, here's the idea I'm offering you. Sometimes life shows up in a way where it feels like maybe even an attack. You know, it feels like something is happening to us. And what if, just for drill, play with me for a moment, what if you could come to yourself in a way, just as you begin to identify this in whatever name you were going to call it, and you go, this is an adventure in faith. Can y'all feel me? So the thing happened, they really did say that. I mean, you really just listened to the message, you heard that mess. And rather than go where you typically went, have historically gone, what if you said, this is an adventure in faith right here. This message, this voicemail right here, this is an adventure in faith. And then the rest of it would be that you prepare yourself. Because you know what? There are going to be some adventures in faith. There's one going on right now. And so you already have, just like you do in the rest of your life, you know, if there's a little plumbing leak, you already got the bucket. You got some rags probably in the bucket, already ready. So, likewise, when the adventure in faith pops up and you have an awareness of it, you have the equivalent of the bucket with the rags already in it. What, you ready? That's the idea. The idea is that you're ready. We're in the get ready. So you already know this is an adventure in faith, and you're just not at the adventure part right now, which is why we're sitting calmly thinking, oh, that could be interesting. That could be nice. But for the one who's in the adventure right now, they're like trying to write something down. They're like putting a plan. This is a real visual. I feel you, y'all. See, these people right here, they're not in it. So they don't have a full appreciation for what I'm talking about. I know some folks at home know. You feel me. You get it. You're all about it. Yes, it's us. We're in it right now. Yes? So look, this is our time. This adventure in faith, it's time to claim our freedom. Yeah? So you know, last week, this kind of came to me. I thought it was going to be a part two where I would continue talking, speaking of, featuring, if you will, our matron saint, Harriet Tubman, but instead, an adventure in faith, right here before our very eyes. So we're just, maybe we're just going to put this on our shopping list, that there's an opportunity for us to not do this anymore, but to just work with it from here. All right. So look, the bottom line here is that we are honoring, I'm suggesting that right now is our time to claim our freedom. And whenever I think about one, freedom, and two, Mother Harriet, I am always thinking, what's required of me? Because when I think about Mother Harriet, and I think about it in the context, I think about her in any way, shape, or form in the context of my life, I recognize I'm not playing full out. You know, I'm not really claiming freedom. I'm talking about freedom, and I have some evidence of some freedom in my life. When I compare my life from however far back I choose to go to this moment, there's more freedom. But, you know, we tried that as children. Trying to present the lower case and pass it off as the higher case. You know what I mean. So you like, yeah, you see right here, look what I've already done. But you know back in the day, Mama would say, I'm not talking about that. Because you already done that. What I'm talking about is the right now. Have you done, are you doing right now like your full share? Are you really actualizing the divine in your life in this moment? I know you got some evidence. The journal will reveal it. We're going to put all that in your obit. But for right now, the challenge is to step up and claim freedom now. Yes? Okay, so look. Last week, we talked about, we had a little pop quiz, didn't we? We talked about Mother Harriet owned a 20. Yes. You remember that? Yes. Because some of us were looking forward to it. In another administration, when it first came up, we were looking forward to it, and we were believing that because it was already planned and the artwork was already done and the prototypes were already set up, that it was a sure thing. Oh, see, I can already feel the energy shift. This is a pop quiz that whenever we have our sights set and the thing isn't working out, what is it? It's an adventure in faith. Yes.
And our work is to not go on the slippery slope of how it shoulda, woulda, coulda, but instead to do our faith work. Because if it matters to us, if somebody really has a vision of Mother Harriet on the 20, you need to do the work. Now, I don't know what your work is, but I know it's not complaining. I know it's not being mad. I know it's not cursing and going through all the machinations about how it should have been and why they didn't and could have. I know there's no value in you becoming the expert on how it ought to work when what's going wanting is the building of the faith, the expansion and actualization of what you do when you have a vision that is higher than the current expression. Now, if you have a vision that matches the current one, you need a new vision, because this one's already accomplished. So the next adventure is what's calling to us. Does this make sense? All right, so if there's an adventure that's calling to us, and I'm just using Mother Harriet on the 20 as an example, because for some of us, we'd like that, but we're not gonna make it our life's work. Someone may. There may be a group of people who will come together and they are not going to quit until they are spending a Mother Harriet 20. But that's not going to be true for everybody. But there's something in your life for which you will go to the mat for it, for which you'll do whatever is required. That's where I want you. With that awareness, what is it in your life that is calling to you, that is begging for your attention? It's an adventure that is waiting to be transformed by your faith, in your faith. Yes? Okay, is there a question? Because some of y'all are looking at me like, this don't, you don't even know who I am. Is there a question about that? Because what I'm doing, what I'm endeavoring to do is to lay a foundation. And so it's essential. If we don't get the foundation, ain't no point in...
That's right.
Okay? So is there a question? Okay. We're good? All right, y'all wasn't looking like it. Is there anything in the chat that we need to? All right. All right, then we're moving forward with this. Look. Keep your eye on the prize. There's not a Black History Month where we don't, but you see, I don't want to save it just for Black History. You know what I'm saying? Because it's a key directive. It's a key affirmation. It's a key declaration. Keep your eyes on the prize. Now look, then I thought, well, let's affirm it and personalize it for us. Can we do that together? So I wrote it for us. Let's do this together. I keep my focus steadfast on my heart's desire. Please pause for a moment, because you can't do that if you're not clear about your heart's desire. If all you're clear about is that you're mad because she not on the 20, that's not a vision. Because if you think about it, that vision, when you translate it, is not on the 20. That's the vision. So if what you're focused on is the way you don't want it to be, that's not your heart's desire. And some of us have not given sufficient attention to what is the heart's desire. We know very clearly we don't want that. I don't want that either. And I'm not that excited about that. But we're not clear about what is it? What is it that when we're clear about it, we would awaken to it and live in it? And it would be transformative. There's no way it couldn't be. Your heart's desire, it is your heart's desire for the benefit that it is to you. And there's no way it can be of tremendous positive benefit for you, transformative in your life, and it not be for the universe. If it's that good for you, truly,
it has a positive place in the universe. We're not taught this, and we're not encouraged to think beyond. We think instead in duality. And we think in separateness, that if I get it, then you're going to be mad because you're not going to have it. But we don't think that if I have it, my having it does something positive. But I must hold it in a positive way. Because if I believe that there's only so much, and if I get a piece of that so much, then everybody else doesn't, then I automatically know I need to covet it. But if instead I get clearly this idea, this is a basic idea, that if it truly is my highest and best, it blesses everyone. If it's truly my highest and best, it blesses everyone. And if it doesn't bless everyone, it's not my highest and best. There is no highest and best that just blesses me. There isn't. And sometimes I think of that when I hear folks say, God bless America, and they don't have nothing, and they're like, put an exclamation point. I'm like, well, that's hardly enough. God bless America, so we are a blessing. God bless America. What's the rest of that? There's some ellipses there that we must bring to our awareness, that when we're blessing beyond our personal preferences and desires. Yes. There's an enlargement here. We know that by our matron saint, who claimed her own freedom, manifested it, and then went on back. You see what I'm saying? My freedom can't just bless me, or it's not freedom. I don't have enough time to do all of you. Okay, I'm just going to do the best I can here. Okay. Oh, I forgot. We do an affirmation. Come on. Woo-hoo. But we're clear now about heart's desire, aren't we? All right, let's start at the beginning. I keep my focus steadfast on my heart's desire, not on my doubts, not on my fears, not on how or if it will happen. Let's take a pause and breathe that in. Because that's the slippery slope for us. We see the heart's desire and then we start unraveling it. Like if I did, well then I don't know if I could. Stop it. Stop it. Just stay steadfast with the heart's desire. And then the last line is, I keep my eyes on the prize. Look, here's what I've come to say. This is what I'm building on. No more resisting what we don't want. Resistance is powerful energy. It's a deep level of engagement. In order to resist, if you do resistance training, in order to resist something, you got to stay with it. Are you not resisting it? Come on now. If you let it go, you're not resisting. Tug of war. You remember that? If somebody let go, it's over. But as long as there is the resistance, and as long as you are in resistance, you are in a non-beneficial game. Because that energy can better be placed on you knowing, embracing, elevating, expanding the truth. Know the truth and, I've been playing with behave is behaving. Thank you. Somebody feels me. I love it when that happens. Thank you, Brannis. Yes. This notion of working in truth, embracing truth, in engaging truth, and then behaving
accordingly, which is also be having. Because whatever it is you have, it's born out of your behavior. When that came to me, I probably don't have it quite right yet, but you get the idea, yes? The language is working itself out, but y'all get the bottom line around it. Because what we know this as principle, that what we resist persists. That's like, where my mic at? Because when we get that, the idea is we'll catch ourselves in the act. And what I know is that if you're not aware, when you're in unconscious behavior, you can't make a change. You can't. Oh, what's going on? Oh, Lord. Thank you. Y'all are the best. Okay, so when it's unconscious behavior, which means you don't even know that happened. You don't even know you said that. You don't even know you did that. That, you can't change that part. If you're not aware, you can't change it. That's just, would you understand? That's just water under the bridge. If you practice, and this is why we encourage the practice of the principle, because you're more likely to what? Have a prodigal son and daughter moment. There's a moment in there where you'll come to yourself and go, oh, Lord. Oh, my, I actually said that. I actually did that. I actually went there. I actually didn't go. Whatever it is, you'll now be aware that's where you can make the change. But don't miss it. Don't waste it on crying and falling out and being in fetal position. And if you need to do that, do that. But then when you get up, get busy. Okay? Because I understand a good, oh Lord, I'm a water sign. You know, so we, crying is ours. The rest of y'all need to get permission. So we know a good cry, baby. Oh, that's us. That's, we feel it. I mean, so deeply, we got to go there. But even we know, once you got that, you got to get up and get busy. There's something for us to put our attention on. To make the shift, because we're not going to live there. Right. Right. We're not just going to cry the rest of our days. So we must be a part of whatever the shift is. Bob Marley says, none but ourselves can free our minds. None but ourselves, which means, what? Who you waiting on? So get to cry out. And when you're done, know it's up to you. Know it's up to you. Learn something while you're down there. Even if it's as simple as that you can get up. Because there was a time in my life when I wasn't sure I'd get up. I really was not convinced that I could get up from there. And I don't mean physically that my legs and my arms could get me up, but even if I was up, I wasn't sure I'd be up. Some of y'all don't understand. You be like the old folks used to say, you'll come to you. Because look, what I know for sure is that I've never done it like this before. And that's important to honor, to recognize, because I am counting on some different outcomes. See, I have a way that I've done it. But I don't want none of that showing up right now. Because I've already done that. And now what my intention is, my heart's desire, is another outcome. Something I have not yet fully experienced. I have it in mind. It's written on my heart, but I know the way there is not the way that I've already been. Because if I always do what I've always done, I'll always get what I've already gotten. And this ain't that. that instead the vision is beyond. So what? It requires that I think beyond, that I feel beyond, that I speak beyond, that I act beyond, that I behave beyond. Yes? We got work to do. Come on. So we're looking at, so let's do this. Just right now, everybody, home, here, everybody. Good. So part of our affirmation for this year on our adventure in faith is manifest more in 24. And we've said this is not a greedy. This is not more, more, more. This is more in the realm of my heart's desire. More like what's for me, really for me, not just the little I'm willing to invest. More investment, more payoff. More aligned outcome. So here's the question. What's the more that you want to manifest? Just be with that for a moment. What's the more? Your life, I'm just declaring for you that it's divine. In its own way, it's divine. There is goodness. There's greatness. There's health and well-being energy. There's prosperity and abundance of all things good. Relationships are gelling. It's all, there's lots of good stuff happening in your life. And what more do you desire to manifest? Bring that to mind. And then look, here's what I want. Here's where I want our focused attention for just a few moments here. Is Y, as in an equation, X and Y, two as unknowns. But you know that there's something that when you think about the more that you want, let me set it up this way. If that more that you wanted, if you were the one who could have that, you'd already have it. Because it's vibrational. There's a mental, emotional, spiritual vibration that when you are that, you manifest in alignment with that. This is a basic thing here. I'm not pretending that you had to come in here knowing, because there's no requirement. Just come on in here. But right now, do we understand this idea? That there's a mental, emotional, and spiritual vibration that each of us is in any given moment. And what we draw to us is magnetized by our energy. Now, what we want is not yet magnetized at that same, to that same degree, or we'd already have it, because that's how it works. So what we are changing is our vibration. We're changing our energy. We're changing our thinking. We're changing our beliefs. We're changing everything. Yeah. If we really mean it, we're changing everything. Does that make sense? Okay. So what is it that is kind of keeping us from that vibration right now? You don't have to know it scientifically, definitively. What do you think it could be? You know, it could be fear about what people would think. It could be that you tried it before and you don't want to fail. It could be whatever story you're telling yourself, yes? So just bring that to mind and call that why. So that idea that I kind of bring up, whenever this comes, I kind of play ping pong with it, or what do they call it, handball against the drapes or something? It's, you know, I'm just trying. This is why y'all know I need prayer. Y'all know that. So this is an example of what happens when y'all let up and not do it. See how it's y'all and not me? Yeah, I'm just saying. So look, the idea here is that whatever this is, whatever that idea is, when you really go for the vision, when you bring the vision to mind of, I could live my life in this way, whatever that thought is, Yeah, but you know, now you know that that's why. The letter Y, not W-H-Y. It's the letter, the solvable Y. We're declaring what? That has no power over me. So it's going to come up. I'm just being prophetic here. It's going to come up. You're going to go, oh, I could, and what? And it'll creep right on in, and you will say, you have no power over me. Wherever you know, wherever you feel it, you just go, you have no power over me. So you understand what I'm saying? You're just going to go right for it. It has no power over you. Then you have this energy presence of, I lay that down. Now, some of y'all are a little more energetic, and you throw it down. Some of y'all slam it down. You understand what I'm saying? The point is, you're letting it go. And I focus only on my desired outcome. So there's the desired outcome, and then there are all the thoughts that draw you to other, you know, get you engaged in some little dance that has nothing to do with the desired outcome. So this is the, would you understand if I said a get thee behind me moment? So that idea comes up about, now you going to be the one who's going to lead the, that when you get thee behind me. You better get out of my, and you have permission to talk to it however you need to talk to it. To say whatever you need to say to it. I understand that sometimes they don't go easy. So you may have to call it a name. You may have to stomp your foot. Karate move. I don't know what you're going to need to do. But the point is, it's get thee behind me. Get out of my way, because I'm focusing on a higher idea here. Does this make sense?
Yes.
All right. So we're in. This is our base level. Go on, work with your base. But if you are an advanced student, now, don't everybody get advanced. This could be aspirational for some of us. I don't know exactly, but I'm not policing the basic and the advanced. Y'all get in where you fit in. All right, so look, the advanced practice would be, you're already at the level of knowing and endeavoring to focus on your intended outcome. So the first thing at the advanced level is to get clear about where your power lies. What's the source of your power? And if you're here, you might call it any number of things, but it is the divine energetic. Some would say love. Some would say God. Some would say Allah. Some would say Jehovah. You have your name for it, whatever that is. And if you don't have a name for it, you got an energy identification for it. So go with that. But it's an advanced way of thinking. So you're all right if you just focus on your desired outcome. You good to go. Just hang out with the desired outcome. The advanced thinking is, it don't matter what the desired outcome is, because there's a larger work, there's a larger opportunity. That's not what I want, but that's not what I'm supposed to talk about, so it's not giving me a word. So look, the idea here is that your focus in the advanced work is on the divine. And you don't have to figure out, here's what I want. Here's what I'm working for. You don't have to worry about that, but that's only at the advanced level. Some of us really have to get clear about what's our heart's desire. You got to get in where you fit in. Don't try this if you haven't already figured out what your heart's desire is. If you know your heart's desire and you've already been working on that, then go for the big guns. Yes. And be aware that, you know, my heart's desire is within the field of infinite possibility. So let me just bring my attention to the holder of infinite possibility. Work it out for me. Just work it out for me. Whatever it is that's for my highest and best, work that out for me like you've been working it out. Because I got evidence that you can work stuff out. So work it out for me. I don't even need to figure out, is it on the west or the east side? I don't need to know that. Because all I'm going to focus on is the divine energy that is everywhere, always present. And I'm going to get so close and personal with that, that I keep my focus on my true source of power. Okay? And that true source of power, the way I'm setting up the equation, is X. It's whatever you call it. So often we focus on our desired outcome. However, focusing on our divine source assures our highest and best in all of our endeavors. In all of our endeavors. But you got to go where, you know, you got to start where you are. So look, you know that Y, the letter Y, the solvable Y for whatever it is that's kind of keeping you from your good, that self-talk, that message that keeps you from the vibration you're seeking, you know it has no power over you. And so you keep your mind and attention focused on the divine, giving it no way in, no way out. Does this make sense? All right, all right. So look, I want to give you a couple of historical examples in 30 seconds. Dang. Okay. All right. All right. So I'm going to give a little bit here. So Jenny Slew, S-L-E-W, Jenny Slew, was born in 1719. And sometimes when I start, oh, you know what I'm going to do? I know. Here's my shortcut. I'm not going to tell it. I'm just going to give you some notes from Michael Harriet's Black AF History, because he tells these stories. I did a lot of research for my guides in the Science of Mind magazine for Black History, and one of these stories was one of the pieces I prepped that never made it to the magazine, and he writes about them. One of the things that always kind of I have to kind of self-correct and bring me into an awareness is so often when we're talking about Black history, we're talking about just pre-Civil War and post-Civil War. And we're not really thinking about the fact that that we can go back to 1619, that we're not really thinking about slavery preceding the states. You know, so that we're usually talking about slavery in the United States, but slavery was happening on this continent before the states were established, before 1776, 4th of July, 1776. Does that make sense? So I want to say it like that because I want to remind us that it's so ingrained in everything. There's no way to talk about this continent and not, if you're willing to have an honest conversation, that is, there's no way to have one and not presence the enslavement and the trafficking and enslavement of Black bodies, Black and brown bodies, and Asian bodies as well throughout this whole period. So look, so Betty Slew, who was a free white woman, gave birth to Jenny Slew in 1719. And there was no question that Jenny, her daughter, was free because she's born to, because the law was that you took the status of your mother. Now, you can understand why that is, because any baby a Black woman had could be enslaved. So that's why that law is there. But there were some white women who had Black babies. Now, I'm not here to explain how or why. I just want a presence that was so. Yes? So this was one of those cases. This was one of those cases. So the white woman had the Black baby, but that meant that this Black child, now I don't know in terms of skin tone and all, I'm not speaking to that. I'm not talking about the degree of melanin. I'm just talking about the category. So this is in Massachusetts, and so she lived as a free woman. until she was about 42 and someone enslaved her. And I wanted to tell this because that was a thing that really happened, that free people were enslaved by people who just simply decided, not today, you're not. All right. So, was enslaved. She's about 43 years old at the time, and about two or three years, I forget which, and I don't want to take any time trying to figure it out, she decided to sue. Now, I have to pause because this is why I wanted to do that whole first part, because we have to set ourselves up for new ideas. The idea of black enslaved folks suing is not a common one. But had it been, things might have been different. I'm trying to say something here. That there is that for us is not common yet. Because we're fighting it. The idea comes and we tell ourselves, why, that ain't gonna work. Because what? Ain't nobody ever done that. That's never happened successfully. Nobody's ever done it. What's the consequence of doing it? I need y'all to stay out of God's business. And get to the part that's for you. Get to the part that's yours. The rest of that is not your business about how it used to be and what happened last time. The part that's your business is that it's written on your heart and you're to speak it, you're to be it, you're to have it. Yes? Okay, so this is what happens. So she sues and she sues, and the way it's filed, she's filed as a spinster. So the trafficker actually addresses that part of it, that she's been married. And so she loses it. They throw it out. But she comes back around to explain that she is a spinster by law, even though she's been married, which is what he presented as evidence. But because she was married to enslaved men, they don't count. Because that's how the law was set up. It didn't count. So she was legally a spinster. Y'all don't, I mean, I'm trying to throw you some crumbs here so you can see how things can be stacked, but that's not your business how they stacked it. Your business is to stand for justice. Your business is to stand for righteousness. Your business is to claim the good for all. Yes? All right, then you understand where this is going. So they came back around. Ultimately, she prevails and actually gets some money. But this is what Judge Oliver declared. He said, this is a contest between liberty and property, both of great consequence, but liberty of the most importance of the two. See, you don't know who's going to be present to know the truth, who will be moved in a moment to declare the truth that makes the difference, that aligns with your heart's desire. I'm trying to tell y'all something this morning. I really am. So look, here's the part that I feel like is essential. Did y'all bring lunch? Or at least a snack or something, because I'm going to need a few more minutes. Yes? Okay. Somebody share snacks among yourselves here. Surely there's a mint in a purse somewhere. Surely there is. Okay, so look. Her attorney, whose name is Kent, her attorney is good friends with John Adams. And John Adams is in court. He will eventually be president. Sometime later, okay, because you know this, there are no states yet. He can't be nothing to be president of. All right. So look, he's present, and he's a note taker, they say, historically. Lots of notes, and we know this because they have his notes. All right, here we go. So as a part of what happens here and the way that this case is presented, in which she prevails, this notion of Declaration of Independence is, oh, come on now, somebody hears me. So this notion of a Declaration of Independence is what's established in this court case. So, okay, y'all feel where we're going here with this. All right, so this is in Massachusetts, and ultimately, So what it amounts to is that this black woman, Jenny Slew, inspired the phrase that is in the Massachusetts Constitution known as the Declaration of the Rights of the Inhabitants of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts. It says this: all men are born free and equal, have certain natural, essential, and unalienable rights, among which may be reckoned the right of enjoying and defending their lives and liberties, that of acquiring, possessing, and protecting property, in fine, that the seeking and obtaining their safety and happiness.
Yes.
Now that ought to sound a little familiar.
Yes.
But it precedes what we know as the Declaration of Independence. I'm trying to tell y'all something today about how the sister put an imprint on what we declare now. Yes? All right. So I want to end here. Lord, pray that I do. So look, while they are meeting, this attorney is meeting with a politician in his home. The woman that was enslaved in his home is listening as they're writing this. I need to tell you something. Her name is Mum Bet. So she's listening. Is she like, what? What? Say what? I mean, I can see her in my mind. She in here doing the do whatever the little cook or wash whatever. Say what? What? So she goes, because there are attorneys who specialize, who are abolitionists, and they're known. So she goes to see him and say, look, I heard them say that there was liberty and that no person, that everybody should free, that everybody has rights. So she goes, so the short of it is that I just want to get, so, she, okay, that wasn't that, okay, here we go. Oh, no, I'm going to move on to the wrong person. Okay, we're back over here. Okay, so I just want to get to the, here we go. Her actions had summarily, so when she won, it summarily emancipated every enslaved person in Massachusetts, because what they dealt with was the Massachusetts Constitution that was written and formed out of this whole conversation of liberty and the Declaration of Liberty for Humans. Bye.
Out in a distant clearing, quiet, you can hear her breathing, feel her heart beating like a drum. There is a world awaiting, home of peace and reparations. Maybe not that far from home. Come on, we're getting closer. Come on, we're getting closer. When I close my eyes, I hear the voices crying out, hurry, we don't have much time now. Hold on for the healing, family. Our voice is needed to speak up and to listen, to act on intention. Hey, we got work to do. Must not dismiss the vision, what's achieved by cynicism. Justice needs the hand and the heart. Gotta walk the walk of our religions, put our money where our mouth is. Right now is the right time to start. Come on, we're getting closer. Come on, we're getting closer. So my true allegiance is to our people. We're equal, nobody's free. No, hold on for the healing, family. Our voice is needed to speak up and to listen, to act on intention. Hey, we got work to do. The veil is getting thinner. We're sharing fear in the face. Oh, time and the place is right where we are standing before. weighed down by the mud pollution, custom-tailored headlines and hate. But we're hardwired for evolution if we envision a future inclusive of all. We can make it. Come on, we're getting closer. Come on, we're getting closer. Come on, we're getting, come on, we're getting, come on, we're getting. Hold on for the healing family. Our voice is needed to speak up and to listen, to act on intention. Hey, we got work to do. Hold on for the healing family. Our voice is needed to speak up and to listen, to act on intention. Hey, we got work to do.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.